So our journey through the Hebrew scriptures this fall, and of late through the prophets, has landed us today with this very well-known Christmas text. And it's, just to be clear, not yet even Advent, even though there's Christmas trees everywhere. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are easily recognizable titles, especially for us as we move toward Advent and Christmas. And we naturally associate these titles with Jesus. But this only happened after early Christians reinterpreted this text, this passage from Isaiah. And while we read Jesus into every line of it, for the early hearers of this text, it didn't have anything to do with Jesus. But it was about hope, light in darkness. This was a very turbulent time in history. The country that we now call Israel was divided into two kingdoms, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And now I'm about the farthest thing from an expert on ancient Eastern history, but I can tell you at least that there was a lot of fighting between these kingdoms, the north and the south, and it got ugly. So without all of the details, we can sum it up by saying that it was a dark time in history. So I wonder, do you ever wonder if people will look back on our time, the early years of the third millennium, will they call this a dark time in history? I think we fancy ourselves pretty enlightened, but there's no world wars raging, but there is a lot of darkness. There are over 65 million refugees in the world. That's almost twice the population of Canada. And about the population of Canada, 30 million people or so are living as slaves in our world. They have no choices about their safety or their daily lives or choices at all. Earthquakes, hurricanes, violence against women, terrorist attacks. It seems like we have these weekly massive losses. This week, Egypt. And the daily headlines just keep supplying us with this disheartening list. During these dark times, we can find ourselves with this question in our hearts, where is God in this? And this is a question that many ask in times of despair. The exiled Israelites asked it. And it is a question that must be asked, especially from a place of faith, I would say. For this questioning about the absence of God does not reveal weakness or lack of faith, as we sometimes think. But as we have heard from our scripture readings throughout this fall, it is a question that is evidence of a strong and real relationship between us and God. Abraham questioned what type of God would ask him to sacrifice his son and came away with the answer, not our God. Ready to come to terms with his true self, Jacob went to sleep with nothing but a rock for a pillow, and then awoke with the awareness and with the declaration, God is in this place. The enslaved Israelites, abused in Egypt, cried out to God, and God gave them Moses and a passage to freedom. These stories form the foundation of our faith, and they help us to remember God's promise of love and faithfulness in times of despair. These stories bear witness to the fact that hard times, they come, but that God will always be with us through them. Now, what they do not do is promise us that things will be just great from here on out. Never once does God say that the rest of the way will be paved with ease. Sadly, in none of these stories does God provide an easy solution. In none of these stories has God acted decisively to just solve all the problems of the world. And like them in these stories, we all face our own darkness too. Stories of grief, abuse, addiction, illness. Fill in your own blank. And we cry out, God, where are you? Or sometimes, why me? And I'm afraid that sometimes part of our asking this comes out of a false notion that has kind of been created in our society that if we just have enough faith in God, everything would be okay. And of course, God does want us to trust God's love and faithfulness, but somehow we've managed to add layers to the meaning of that that have altered its truth. We think that everything being okay means that God should provide solutions to our problems so that we never have to face anything hard ever again. But then we've missed the point of these stories. We've missed who God has revealed God's self to be. Because too many people suffer due to circumstances far beyond their control. Faithful people who, despite their deep and abiding trust in God, continue to suffer. So how can we possibly believe or even suggest that if they just prayed harder, God would make it better? We all have our experience of darkness. But just as surely as we know that God did not cause the darkness, neither does God wave a magic wand and make it go away. And yet, Isaiah proclaimed words of hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Isaiah speaks of a new king who will establish and uphold justice and righteousness. Isaiah's prophecy reminded these people of their place in the larger story of God's love and faithfulness, that God would hear their cries and pay attention to their suffering, that God would act as God had acted in the days of Abraham and Jacob and Moses, with a promise to remain with them, to provide for them in times of need, to love them and strengthen them, no matter what life might throw at them. And we too are part of that larger story as well. Now we hear Isaiah's words on this side of Jesus, right? The birth and life and death of Christ. So not only do we have the stories of Abraham and Jacob and Moses, but we have the story of God putting on human flesh, of God becoming one of us. Not only do we carry God's promise to love and remain with us for all time, but we have Emmanuel, God with us. God who suffers with us, despairs with us. God who dies with us. There is a kind of peace that comes from shedding the expectation that God can and will fix all the problems of the world. Suffering will always be a part of the human condition. But God hears our cries and pays attention. We are not alone in our suffering. The God who remained steadfastly with Abraham remains steadfastly with us. The God who provided manna in the wilderness feeds us with the bread of life. The God who took on human flesh, who suffered and died, feels the pain of hunger and weeps with those who mourn. Because God is Emmanuel with us. The first people to hear Isaiah's words, they didn't know about Jesus. So rather, they heard these words to be a part of God's continuing promise to bring forth kings from the line of David who would bring peace and stability to God's people. But these words have proved timeless words. A prophetic call to believers across time and across all space to see the light that shines through the darkness. So my prayer that each of you experience the light in the midst of your own darkness, that stubborn and beautiful light that just won't let the darkness win. May you experience this light and then be a reflection of it wherever you go. Amen.